time to begin our Sunday morning worship service. We have a good crowd out this morning. We have several visitors with us, and we want to extend you a hearty welcome, let you know that you are our honored guest. Also like to say that if you have any questions about anything that you see us do in matter of practice and worship, will not offend us or embarrass us if you have a question about why we're doing these things, because we stand on the Bible squarely on it and nothing else. So if you have questions, we certainly encourage them. In terms of the sick list, we want to continue to remember Pam Bays and Wilma Hamilton. They are members out of Northwest, and they're dealing with serious health issues. We certainly want to continue to remember them in our prayers. Also, I'd ask that you remember my sister, Judy Wrong, who's Ellen's sister, who's dealing with serious health issues as well. And remember her. We really appreciate you remembering her in your prayers. In terms of Wednesday night invitation, Andrew Nevins is down for that. For the benefit of our visitors, our times of worship are we meet here Sunday morning for Bible study and 10 o'clock for our worship service. We'll meet back again this afternoon at 4 p.m. for our Sunday evening worship service. And then Wednesday, we'll meet here at 7 p.m. for midweek Bible study. So if you're in the area and you have opportunity to come out and be with us at any of those times, we certainly would encourage you to do that. Of course, membership, we need to be making provisions in our weekly schedule for these times. These are times that have been set aside for us to come together, study, and learn more about how we're supposed to live our lives in service to God. We want to take advantage of that. As far as our order of worship this morning, Jesse Kirby will be leading our song service. He's 501 will be up and studying, returning to that. We'll send you that shortly. The opening prayer, we're going to ask Tim Clark to word that for us. Communion table for the communion will be headed up by Tony Barry. He'll be assisted by Daniel Dini. Chuck will be bringing us the lesson of the hour, and then closing prayer. TJ, he'll be here, so TJ will be in closing prayer for us. Those are the announcements that I have at this time. If there's anything that I've omitted, you can please bring it to my attention. I will include that in the service. If there's nothing else, then we'll turn the song service over to Jesse.
Number 501, O Worship the King. O worship the King, all glorious, all well, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plains, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Number 22. After this song, we led in our opening prayer. Number 22, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
All the way my Savior leads me, what am I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy?
So much for the opportunity we have to reach the lost Help us never to shirk from our responsibilities. Help us always to reach out a hand or to say something to someone or to invite a friend or just whatever we can do to lead someone to you. Help us always to stand up for the truth. Father, we ask that you be with us this morning in our worship service to you. Look down upon us with favor and help us to always be good Christians. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Let's sing number 742. Number 742, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on great Prince of glory high, my richest gain I count a loss, and more content on all my pride. For it is Lord that I should boast, save in the death.
Supper this morning, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. It says, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant, my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's reflect back upon that day and that sacrifice that was made upon our behalf. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful for the sacrifice upon the cross, that through that great sacrifice we have a chance to spend eternal life with thee in heaven. Father, we pray as we gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior, And we partake of this unleavened bread, the communion, thy son's body that hung upon that cross, that we will partake of it in a manner well pleasing to thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
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 Father, we continue in prayer at this time for the fruit of the vine, which we see in your word as representative of Christ's blood that was shed for each of us. Father, we recognize that it's only through that sacrifice that we have a hope of the forgiveness of sins, which is necessary for us to be able to join with you in heaven for all of eternity. Father, we're thankful for that. We pray that we can live well here on the earth, that we can not take it for granted or anything like that. Pray all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
concludes the Lord's Supper. Now we have opportunity as members here of River Ridge to lay by and store proper portion of which we prosper through the week. Let's give thanks. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this opportunity to give back a portion in which we prosper through the week. We pray that we will use this money wisely here, that the furthering of your work can continue in this community. We pray that you be with the elders as they make sure that this money is used in a way that's pleasing to thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you'd like to mark in your songbook number 684, that'll be the song of invitation. After you have that song marked, turn to number 499, Ode to Be Like Thee. We'll sing this song before the lesson.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Thy sweetness.
like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed
your Bibles this morning as we study the scriptures. Now, there'll be a lot of passages that we will be turning to this morning. Don't fret if you don't get to them all. Remember, I can just email you the outline. This is one of those lessons that, man, I just wish that everybody could hear in this world. Obviously, all the lessons we preach, we hope that that's our answer or our attitude towards all our lessons. But particularly this lesson in the religious realm. People ask the question, are we a denomination? It's a good question. I've never preached a lesson like this before. And I think it's going to be a help to all of us, certainly a help to me in doing some studying on this in order to help people understand. Because when you sit back and say, well, are we a denomination? Well, you can't answer that question until you know what a denomination is. I mean, really what it means. Have you ever heard the term non-denominational? Well, we're non-denominational. Are we non-denominational? I tell you, folks, we're going to learn a lot of things today as we talk about this. Denomination simply means an adherence to particular principles, especially tenets of a religious denomination. To divide or cause to divide into sects, S-E-C-T-S, of denominations. Preaching Christ, I want us to understand something this morning. Preaching Christ does not promote dividing into religious sects. Preaching Christ, that is. I've told you guys before, in the religious realm, there's two words that are most widely misunderstood. The word church and the word Christian. Every time people read the word church, they think a certain way. They say the term Christian, they're thinking something. From a biblical standpoint, we know when the Bible speaks about the church, when the Bible talks about a Christian. We understand that. But to show you this concept, the misunderstanding about, really, are we a denomination? It starts with not just staying with what the Bible teaches. We really wouldn't be asking that question if we really knew what the Bible taught. So what do you mean by that? Well, when we know what the Bible teaches about family, would you say to somebody, I'm a non-homosexual family? Or marriage. It's a non-homosexual marriage. Well, why would you just say that? I'm married. You know, if you understand what the Bible teaches about it, you just automatically understand a certain thing. You wouldn't have to put that connotation upon it. It's a non-homosexual marriage. You wouldn't have to do that if you understood what the Bible says. So you wouldn't have to tell somebody you're non-denominational. That doesn't even make sense to say that, as we'll talk about a little bit later. And the whole concept of what is a denomination. Well, let's just stop there. You know, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, you have to remember that verse. I've said it 1,000 times from this pulpit. Matthew 16, 18, where Jesus said, I am going to build my church. Okay, so we understand that. In Romans 16, 16, when Paul traveled around and visited different churches, and I'm going to talk about how they got started in just a few moments, as we quickly go through a lot of passages in the book of Acts today, and we're going to be in a lot of different passages. But when Paul traveled around in Romans 16, 16, he said, the churches that are of Christ, the church of Christ, salute you or say hello. As Paul traveled around. Now remember, the New Testament churches were not different religious sects. I want you to understand that. The churches you read about in the Bible that from Acts on, now in the book of Acts, you'll find where Paul traveled on missionary journeys.
people obeyed the gospel, he went into the synagogues of the Jews. Those were religious people. He would go in there and he would preach the gospel, and some people would be converted. And after spending some time there, he'd go to another city, and he'd go into the synagogue because he knew there were religious people there. They were Jews. And he would preach the gospel to them. Sometimes they cast him out. Sometimes they would stone him. They didn't like what they were hearing. Sometimes people said, wow, I like what I'm hearing here. And people would obey the gospel. And when people obeyed the gospel, what happened? Acts 2:47. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So when people were becoming Christians, the Lord added them to his church. And when he went from city to city, these Christians came together. You had local churches, local churches, local churches. That's why when you open up your Bible, Corinthian church, there's a church there. Ephesus, Galatia, Philippi, Colossae, Ephesus. Different local churches where Paul traveled around and people obeyed the gospel. Now, why am I saying that? Well, we need to understand how they got started. Open up your Bibles to the book of Acts. Follow along as we go through. Powerful stuff. Lesson that I can email you. It's good that you would want your friends and to know about. So in Acts chapter 13, in 40, well, let's first read verse 5. Acts 13 and verse 5. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. See, notice, I told you, they would go when they traveled around, they would go into the synagogue, and they would preach. Now, if you move on down to verse 48 and 49 in this, 48 and 49, Acts 13, it reads this. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the regions. So the word of God was being spread. Now, there's a reason. Method to my madness why I'm pointing these verses out, and I'll talk about it in just a few moments. I know I seem to be talking quickly, but this is just fundamental stuff. Look at verse 21 of chapter 14. Acts 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. What was taught as they went from city to city? When they went back and strengthened them, they went from church to church to church, local churches that is. What were they taught? They were taught the same thing, because Jude 3 says there was that word which was once delivered to the saints. Remember Galatians chapter 1? Paul is saying this. This is the same guy in Galatians chapter 1. This is the same guy that traveled on those journeys and established congregations. And we just read that he was actually going to go back now and strengthen those brethren. It would kind of be like, you know, if we went back in time, you know, if we were living during the times of the apostles, that, you know, Paul would stop in at the River Ridge Church, and then he would go over to the Northwest Church, and then he would go up to Mount Carmel, and then he would go over to Benton. You know, he'd just visit all these churches, strengthening the members. But what was he teaching? Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ, that even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. The point is, when they traveled around, when you preach Christ, get this, when you preach Christ, you are not promoting religious division. You're not promoting different religious sects. He wasn't going to the church at Philippi and teaching something there than the church at Corinth. It was the same gospel. Get that, okay? So when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, what denomination are you a part of? I know you want to say, well, we're non-denominational. I know you want to say that. But really, it's just like you would say, remember the church, you know. But they have this concept in their head that they don't really understand. And I want you to understand it so that you might be able to communicate it to others so that they can get it. But preaching of Christ does not promote that. Look in Acts chapter 15. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. and in verse 40. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Okay? Strengthening them with that common teaching. Look at verse 4 of chapter 16. Acts 16, verse 4. And they went through the cities. They delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in daily in number. They increased in their faith. I know I just alluded to it, but I'm going to quickly go over and read that verse. This is what I said a moment ago, Jude 3. He said, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write and exhort that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. The faith that was delivered. The message that was delivered. Faith can refer to in the New Testament sometimes as our own personal faith. It can also refer to the gospel as it was. The faith that was delivered to the saints. The message. Remember, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So that common teaching is strengthening them. Did you get that? 2 John 9? Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. So all these different churches, do you think Paul wants them to have God? Every place he preached, do you think they wanted them to have God? Well, if they were going to have God, they had to abide in the doctrine of Christ. What doctrine was that? It's all the same. He didn't go from one church to another church teaching different doctrines. Preaching Christ does not promote religious division. It doesn't promote denominationalism. I want you to understand that, folks. It's imperative that we get that. They were to be one. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. One of the churches that Paul was labored with, Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, he says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. How? There's one body, one Spirit, just as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Same lesson he would teach everywhere he went. Paul's teaching was creating unity. There was absolutely no room for differences. Now let me show you some powerful passages. I love these list of verses. We got like six quick ones we're going to look at. Now let's open up our Bibles. We're going to go to Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Again, the church at Corinth. Paul is writing this epistle to them, this letter. This is what he says to them. And what are we talking about today, guys? Remember I'm saying, well, somebody comes up and says, what denomination are you a part of? Is the River Ridge Church of Christ a denomination? Okay. How would we answer that? Well, we're talking about, well, what is a denomination? So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 17. Paul wrote a lot of different things to this church, and he says in verse 17, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordained, or as I taught, in all the churches. Paul says, what I have taught here, and you can read the context of the specific subject that he had in mind. He says, what I'm telling you, brethren, I told it to all the other places. Now that passage over in Galatians chapter 1 where I stopped reading in verse 8, you go down to verse 12 where Paul says, I speak by revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't speak on his own authority. It came by inspiration. And so the things that he taught when he went from church to church, it's the same message. There were no differences. Did you get that? There's no differences. Denominationalism promotes differences. Now, I understand that they want to promote acceptable differences. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. What they're saying is, well, that one's okay. That's what's spraying these concepts. Choose the church of your choice. That's what brought that. It sprang from this concept, and I'll have more to say about that in just a few moments. Turn to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm just trying to get you to understand what the Word of God has to say about this. In verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." No confusion. You know, if somebody were to come in here, well, forget that. Forget that illustration. I'm backing up. I understand the confusion that people have in this world that might be looking for the truth. And I think nothing promotes more confusion to the person that's seeking the truth than the concept of denominationalism. Say, what do you mean by that, John? If somebody's looking for the truth, and they hear a religious group say, "Well, choose the church of your choice, it doesn't really matter," and they go, they're going to be scratching their head and going, "Well, wait a second. If you claim to have the truth, and you claim to have the truth, but and you're saying each of you are okay, then why are there differences?" I get that. Absolutely. If you're right with God and you're right with God, there's no differences. Why are there differences? Because denominationalism promotes division, different religious sects. But when you open up the Bible, it says, "Oh, no, 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 no." It doesn't promote that at all. And Paul is telling these brethren that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're right there. Look at verse 1. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, there be no collections when I come." So we took up a collection on Sunday today. Somebody says, "Well, our church over here, if you come and worship with us, Chuck, we take it up on a Thursday night once a month." Well, but when you preach Christ, there's something consistent. It doesn't promote division. It doesn't promote different practices. It promotes those things that are in common. Now, what you might notice if you go from faithful churches is that they might take up the collection before they offer the Lord's Supper. You've got that liberty. It doesn't say when. It's still the first day of the week. That's why we did it. We have biblical authority for it. But I want you to understand that there was no room. In New Testament times, there was no room for creating denominationalism where the Lord, where Paul says, okay, you can hold on to this, and you at Corinth can hold on to this, and you at Philippi can hold on to these ideas. But we're all basically going the same way, the same place. It's not what I find in the Word of God at all. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Love this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Boy, I love studying the Word. We just learn. We get stronger, folks. We build up our faith. It's not built on emotion. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Did you get that? The churches of Macedonia. Move down to verse 18, same chapter. "And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel through all the churches, and not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with the gift which was administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself, and to show your ready mind." Brethren, we had this guy. You know, because you were giving to the needy saints, you decided to agree to this brother traveling with us, and he carried those funds to help to that those needy saints that are over there. But that common denominator there with the brethren. Now, if you have a pen, get a pen, click it. Colossians chapter 4, great one to underline in your Bible. Philippians, then the book of Colossians. Go to chapter 4. Okay, go to chapter 4. Colossians 4, verse 16, this is what Paul wrote to the brethren. It's a letter. This was a letter, folks. You got to get that. An inspired letter to the church, and they're reading it. He says in verse 16, "And now when this epistle is read among you," we would say this letter is read among you, "see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from the Laodiceans." What are you going to do reading each other's mail? Why are you exchanging mail? Because these are inspired letters. And what this church is told to do, guess what? If they're supposed to do it, then you're supposed to do it. Preaching Christ doesn't promote division. It promotes unity. Now, we can have different churches. I get that. He wasn't trying to say we're all one church. We all have to come together in one place all over the world, have a convention. No. Local churches were autonomous, self-governing. When you read the church, the letter to the church at Corinth, man, that church had a lot of problems. But that church had problems that the church at Ephesus didn't have. You can read that in Romans chapters 2 and 3. Seven letters were written to seven different churches. They had different problems. Five of them were rebuked. Two of them weren't. Different problems within different congregations. But I'll tell you what, if you write to the church at Corinth, for example, one of the things Paul brought up in chapter 5, you have a brother there that's doing some things that are wrong, caught up in sexual immorality, it's sinful. Well, guess what? Today, we have that problem. It applies to us. Fix it. Preaching Christ does not promote division. We need to understand that. I'm going to build my church, is what Jesus said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just a couple of pages over, guys, from where we were in Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 27 we read, right near the end of the book, 1 Thessalonians 5, 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. It's inspired, folks. This is the inspired word of God. People ask you, Chuck, where's your creed? What's your creed there for the River Ridge Church of Christ? We don't have church manuals. We don't write up our creed book and say, here's our creed book. Because that promotes division. You can go to religious groups around and say, this is our manual. This is our creed. This is what we teach here. This is what we teach here. We teach this. Oh, we teach that truth too. If you teach that truth too, and you're right with the Lord, guess what? We're doing the same thing. Faithful churches of our Lord. That's why when brethren, when you travel, you guys have come back from your vacation. You say, hey, man, I visited with a good congregation down in Florida, or I was in Alabama, or I was wherever. I was down in Oklahoma. Visit with those brethren. Well, did they do anything different? No, pretty much the same. How's that possible? And we had brethren here that are visiting today from Louisville doing the same thing. We had brethren move to this area from other parts of the country. And what are they doing here? They weren't uncomfortable. Why? Because where they came from, they were doing the same thing. They were preaching the same thing, practicing the same thing. Because when you preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it promotes unity, not division. Denominationalism promotes that. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to look at one of these. Just one. I'd like to read them all. And I'd like for you to, if you're not familiar with Revelation chapter 2 and 3, I would like for you to read all these letters that were written. But in Revelation chapter 2, I'll just read one letter that was written. To the angel of the church at Ephesus, write these things. I says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Jesus says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. You found them liars. You have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have what? Fallen. Repent and do first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you what? Repent. But this you have. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. I love that. I have preached a whole sermon. I don't think I've done that. Years ago, I preached a sermon on what is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You say, well, Chuck, the Bible doesn't say it. It just said you hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. How can you preach a whole sermon on the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? Easy. Number one point was, I remember preaching that sermon, was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was not the doctrine of Christ. Okay? And that they hated it. You can know what the doctrine of Christ is and what it isn't. That's one of the great things about the gospel. When you preach, that's why you can travel around. I'm never adverse for people who I have studied with, and they say, Chuck, I'm just checking around. We've had people come and visit with us, and we've studied with them. And, well, I'm just checking around. I'm just checking different churches around. And I said, you are? Okay. Keep this in your hand. And I said, observe. I said, look at everything they do, and notice what they preach, and notice what they don't preach. Because sometimes people will avoid certain subjects to try to promote unity within that group. You got to be careful with that. And so this whole idea of denominationalism doesn't exist from a biblical standpoint, folks. We get that. They followed the head, which was Jesus. Colossians 1 and verse 18. Jesus is the head. Those who drifted were not considered faithful unless they repented. Now, since preaching Christ doesn't promote denominationalism, the division, do you know what denominationalism had to come up with? Denominational people had to come up with? Have you ever heard of the term ecumenical movement? Now, the reason why ecumenical, I said it right the first time, I should have quibbled up the head. The ecumenical movement, okay, what that is, it's an idea that the denominations came up with. When I was a part of a denomination, I remember hearing this. The denominations are starting to say now, let's agree to disagree. The denominations are saying, don't say this denomination is wrong. Don't say that denomination is wrong. I'm hearing on the radio there's this new religious group in town, and they're saying, if you've got a church, good. But if you can get away, come and visit us. You know, they're just that this idea that, you know, just get a hold of a church family. Any church family is good. Well, from a biblical standpoint, can I argue with that? From a biblical standpoint, I can't argue with that. I mean, because the Bible talks about the church, you read about it in the Bible, belong to that church. But it isn't this idea of it doesn't matter where you go, because John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father except through me. So this idea of one church as good as another, I have preached that in times past. If somebody said, Chuck, is one church as good as another? I'd have to answer yes, with an if. One church is as good as another if all the churches have Christ as their head, they're abiding in the doctrine of Christ, they're not preaching a different gospel. Yeah. In other words, if they're united with all those things that we read about Ephesians chapter 4. But knowing that all are not the same, you can't say one church is as good as another. Was one church as good as another in the New Testament? Would you have loved to have been a member at Ephesus? I just read it. Revelation chapter 2. What was the problem with the church at Ephesus? The Lord said, you've been doing all these good things. You found out they claimed to be apostles, and you test them. You found out that they were liars. Good for you. You guys are standing strong. But I have this against you as a church, he says. You've lost your first love. Now, would you go to that congregation and say, hey, are we going to change here? Are we going to repent? Are you going to, if you're a member there, are we going to repent? If they say, well, no, we're just going to stay the way we always are, or were. You wouldn't like that, would you? Or would you? You see, in New Testament times, Paul wrote letters to these different churches because they were doing some things that were wrong, trying to get them to repent. This whole concept of promoting division is denominationalism, and the idea to agree to disagree just doesn't fit within it. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I mentioned a moment ago the church at Northwest, the Northwest Church of Christ. Should we know about other churches? Just be our own little entity here, and we're the only ones going to heaven? No, of course not. That's silly. That's ridiculous. As Paul traveled around, he would mention other brethren. You want to know? Look what we have here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 1. Paul writes to these brethren and says, now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your gift, generous gift. What was that all about? Okay, quick. There were some brethren who faced a famine, and they were in need. Brethren helped out brethren. Churches sent money. If we hit a famine here in this area, seriously, I mean, we'd have no government aid, we had nothing, and brethren couldn't even help each other out on a local level, and we're all starving to death. You know, brethren would send money. Brethren would send money so we won't starve. That's what happened in the New Testament. So what Paul said was, brethren at Corinth, you know, last year, you know, in the past, when you promised you were going to say, hey, we want to send money to help out those needy brethren. You promised that a long time ago. He says, I want you to follow through because I bragged on you to other people. You told them about us? Yeah, I told them about you. I said, their brethren there at Corinth want to help out. And that, you know what that did? That stirred up that church to want to give. Well, we want to help out those needy brethren too. So my point is, brethren knew about other brethren. They knew about it, and they didn't even have the media outlets that we have today. Good grief, man. The internet and Facebook and everything else. Phones? Let's go back to ancient times. Phones. The old phone. But we have the internet, and everything is linked today. But you have to be careful, of course. Because, you know what? When I go to 2 John 9, I know I quote 9, but 2 John, I want to read 10 and 11. 2 John, right near the end of our Bible. 2 John. Do you realize that I have actually sat down and studied with people who said, Chuck, I go to a non-denominational church. I go, what? Yeah, we're non-denominational. But you told me that this religious denomination over here, that they're okay. Well, yeah, they're okay. But we're non-denominational. Look, if you call yourself non-denominational and you promote accepted division, it's denominationalism. You can be a non-denominational denominationalist. Do you realize that? You say, I'm non-denominational. You're just another denomination. Because you still have this idea that there can be differences. We've just called ourselves a non-denominational church, and we cling to ideas that are different from this denomination over here, but we still think they're okay. See, that's the difference between the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, please do not misunderstand me. 2 minutes left here. Jehovah's Witnesses, it's a cult. Mormonism is a cult. They teach error, and I can prove it, and I can teach it. I hate to say that without going into the Word. But those are wrong, okay? But those two are not denominations. They teach error, but they're not denominations. Because the Jehovah's Witnesses understand the concept of saying within the different Jehovah's Witnesses kingdom halls, they're saying there can't be differences. And if there's a difference, then they're not Jehovah's Witnesses anymore. Do you understand? They at least get the idea that denominationalism is wrong. Now, I'm not saying they're right in the least, but I want you to see the difference, okay? Because there are denominations out there, and their concept is, well, you don't have to believe what we believe. You can still go to heaven and believe differently. Paul preached a common salvation, the gospel. And if anybody preaches any other gospel on you, let them be accursed. And so that's why when you and I travel, there are times when we go, well, you can call yourself a church. You can call yourself a Christian. Doesn't necessarily mean you are. That's why we have to open up our Bibles and check with us. Just because we have a biblical name, Church of Christ, read that in Romans 16:16. There are many, many churches of Christ, and we read one today in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus. You can call yourself a church of Christ and be in sin if you don't repent. Okay. And so what we're noticing is as you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't ever promote division. You're promoting unity because the gospel cannot be fragmented. You can't fragment the word of God. It's always complete. It's always whole. That's why we're not going to write our charter of faith. What's a charter of faith? Charter of faith is they'll get there and say, we believe this, we believe this, we believe this. And they'll give you 10 points. Well, then you don't believe this verse and this verse and this verse. That's why we can't fragment it. We believe it all. We're under the New Testament. We're the New Testament church. Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. It belongs to him. And I want us to make sure that we understand those differences. And so when somebody says, Chuck, what kind of marriage do you have? Just a marriage. From a biblical standpoint. Well, it's a non-homosexual marriage. Well, why would I have to say that? It's just a marriage from a biblical standpoint. And somebody says, well, Chuck, what denomination do you belong to? From a biblical standpoint, you see how you say, how do I answer that? I don't belong. That doesn't exist. Division. That doesn't promote it in the Bible. So I belong to the church that Christ purchased. Oh, so you're non-denominational. Great, we're right back to this again. Well, you could just, and people will consider us just a denomination. Well, that's just a different denomination. I go, oh, so you're thinking you're the only ones going to heaven. Didn't say that. I'm saying if you're not abiding by this, you're not. If we're not. And if you're not. But if you are, and we are, we're doing the same thing. Now get this, last point, the lesson's yours. I went over. If we differ, they're right and we're wrong. Or we're right and they're wrong. Or we're both wrong. But we both can't be right. Get that? We both can't be right if you're teaching different doctrines. Power. And so that's why we're always examining ourselves, like what Mark said when he got up here with the announcements. If you got any questions about things that we say or do here, we want to make sure that we're abiding in the truth, because Jesus is the way and the truth, and nobody gets unto the Father except through him. Brethren, let's be mindful of this so we can tell our friends and our neighbors to stand up for what is right. Try to clear up that confusion, although it seems like an impossible task. But let's stand fast for what's right. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one, because the good news is we don't add anybody to the church. That's the Lord's job. And which church is that? What church do you belong to? He only built one. And I want to belong to that one. The one that he said he was going to build with his own blood. And you can become a part of that today. We'll sit down and look at the passages. And if you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need to come back. If we can be in help to you in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the moon. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise ring back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
It's good to see everyone out this morning. I invite you to join us again this afternoon at 4 o'clock if you're still in the area. Were there any other announcements that need to be added on from this morning?
I just wanted to say that Mackenzie's going to make her stay a little more permanent. She'll be back for next school year, so I just want to thank everybody for their prayers on that.
Amen.
Anything else? We'll have TJ leads in the closing prayer.
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this time this morning that we've been able to gather together on this day that we've set aside for you. Thank you for all the blessings that we have. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for your Son and His willingness to come and die on the cross and give us that hope of eternal life with you in heaven. Thank you for the members that meet here. Thank you for our like-minded faith. Thank you for the ability to study your word and understand it and put it to use in our lives. We ask that when we fail you, that we come to you and ask for that forgiveness that we know you'll be willing to give. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.